We continue now with our series, Lewis and Clark, 200 Years Later.
One, two, three.
Producer Barrett Golding bicycled the trail and sent us a series of audio postcards along the way. Like this one of archaeologist Ken Karzmiski, who collects evidence from the captain's campsites in central Oregon. Ken Karzmiski works at the Discovery Center near the Dalles in central Oregon. Interstate 84 is on one side, a railroad is on the other, and in between lie thousands of lost historical artifacts.
We're standing at a ledge right now at the edge of the river, basically a basalt wall, and we're looking down about 30 feet at the river's edge. There's a big bend in the river here, and we're about to enter the Columbia River Gorge. There are dams built all the way up the Columbia, and many of the Lewis and Clark campsites will be underwater here. But even beyond the Lewis and Clark campsites, Lewis and Clark, if you look at the maps, they're mapping village after village after village up and down the river here. All of those villages have been flooded as well. Any sacred place that they may have seen, and they saw burial sites, those have been flooded. Almost everyone who's thinking about Lewis and Clark always think about the aspect of trade. They can be trading knives, they can be trading beads. As they're coming back up the Columbia River, they're trading skins. Lewis and Clark are trading skins for beads. They're getting beads from the Indians, which the next day they may trade for dogs, which they'll use as food. On the Missouri, they could get firewood because of the cottonwoods alongside the Missouri River. Here, they had to buy firewood. Now, that's a shocker. I mean, you think of Lewis and Clark as guys who are out exploring the wilderness. But on the Columbia, they are with a different group of people almost every night that they are out here. When Lewis and Clark passed down this river, there were 23 native languages being used. Today there are two. The challenge is, can we keep those two? And is there any way that we can recover any of those other 21 that have been lost? If, for instance, people used the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial to fund the preservation of the Umatilla language, and there's a preservation effort going on right now, and that's one of the two languages left, by itself, that would be worth having a bicentennial. Languages that they recorded then, 200 years ago, we can't today because they've disappeared. You know, there's a direct connection. They were interested in languages. We ought to be. That would be a good piece of commemoration for a bicentennial.
Archaeologist Ken Karzmiski works at the Discovery Center in central Oregon. Barrett Golding's portraits of the Lewis and Clark Trail, 200 years later, are part of the Hearing Voices series funded by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. For more audio, images, and interviews from the trail, go to our website, livingonearth.org.